Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James. Bon appetit and welcome to the Off Menu podcast with Ed Gamble and James Acaster. I'm Ed Gamble.
I'm James Acaster.
This is exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting. This is a podcast where we ask a guest basically to build their dream meal, their favourite starter they've ever had, favourite main, favourite dessert, favourite side, favourite drink.
Best drink. Now, this is episode one, so we're obviously getting a few things fleshed out.
Yes.
I went with Bon Appetit there as the opening.
I liked that.
Are you happy with that?
Yes, and I am a waiter.
Ah, okay. So this is the other thing we should let you know as well. We haven't quite nailed the format down yet, and James is insisting throughout the podcast that he is a waiter.
Yes.
And taking the orders. So each time our guest, who this week is the wonderful Scroobius Pip.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. Love Scroobius Pip and can't wait to hear what he wants to eat.
So James, every time we ask Pip about a new course, James takes the order as the waiter.
Yes.
I'm not sure that we should do that, James.
You can't tell people what jobs they can and can't do, Ed.
Well, I could tell someone to not
be a waiter. You're like the dad in Billy Elliot.
I could tell someone not to be a waiter in a private room when we're not in an actual restaurant.
Well, you can tell them, but then freedom of speech, I'm allowed to be a waiter.
So we're sticking with Bon Appetit as the opening.
Yeah.
And certainly for this episode, because we've already recorded it,
yeah,
you were acting like a waiter, yes, throughout, but a waiter who constantly stayed at the table.
Yeah, one of those familiar waiters who comes and sits with you and gets a bit personal, has a bit of a chat.
I hate them.
No, it adds to the meal.
It doesn't add to the meal.
I felt like I added to the ambiance.
You were fine, because at least I know you.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, the waiter here is James Acaster. He's going to come and sit at the table, because it'd just be awkward, yeah, otherwise, because it'd be like, what's happened to James? Why is he? What's happened in his comedy life that he's needing to get supplementary wages as a waiter?
Well, the waiter is it's more of a passion thing. It's my passion.
So this is not, yeah, this is not anything you're being paid for.
No, I do it for the love. That's why I like chatting as well.
Does the imaginary restaurant that you're working in,
yes,
know that you're working there? Have you applied to work there, or have you just turned up in a little waiter's uniform?
Well, I like to think that, like, it's almost like I'm a genie. I like the whole,
a genie?
Yeah, but the whole restaurant.
Okay, I think it's confusing enough that, yes, you're pretending to be a waiter in our pretty laid-back food chat podcast,
yep,
with the loose structure of favourite starter, main, side, dessert.
Yes.
You can't also be a genie.
But it's a magical restaurant because they're able to order food from any time in their life, any time they had it. And like, you know, it would be one of those things where like, if it was a film,
yeah,
in the film, you know, I would just appear like on the waiter, and then they would realise there's something magical about the restaurant, and they'd realise actually I'm the only member of staff there.
Right.
And the whole thing is just magic, and I'm a genie who created the restaurant.
Do you see what I'm saying when I'm telling you that that seems like you're overcomplicating it?
But there's like layers and layers of stuff where people would like, you know, because the more people listen to the podcast, the more they'll discover that.
Right, okay.
Even though I'm saying it now in episode one.
Yeah, but you've already given away that the twist is you're a genie as well as a waiter.
Yes, I've given it away, actually.
As well as James Acaster, the comedian.
But what we could do is we could edit this bit out and then on the very, like in a few years time, play this and go, look, it was there from the beginning. They knew from the beginning that he was a genie and it was a magical restaurant that he had created by magic.
I think it's a really fun episode. We've just had a lovely chat with Pip.
Really good. Some unexpected choices and hitting a lot of our loves.
Yeah, indeed.
That we like. We should also point out that for every episode, there's going to be a secret ingredient which, if they mention it, they get kicked out the restaurant.
Yeah, should we mention what it is now?
Yes, so listeners can listen out for it.
Yeah.
We won't say if he says it or not yet, but we decided that the ingredient that we don't like,
yeah,
is pomegranate this week.
Pomegranate. Pomegranate seeds that get in your teeth.
Yeah.
We're not having that in our imaginary genie restaurant.
No, don't like them. So if he orders that, he is in trouble.
Also, something to beware of, we're recording in the offices of your management,
yep.
James. And we
not management at the restaurant. That's no, just me, because I'm no. a genie.
Okay, can you? Okay, the confusion really, really coming into play now.
Yep.
I think we're next to the kitchen of your management. So there will be background noise of plates and microwaves pinging.
Yep.
That is completely accidental. That is not a bed we've added in.
Yes.
But it's perfect. It's worked out ideally.
It is perfect and adds to all the magic. But don't expect it every episode.
No, don't expect it every episode. So this is the intro for the first one. I think in future ones, we'll be catching up on food news, discussing food experiences.
Yeah, the intro will be a bit more.
This is just a bit of setup for this one now, because it's the first ever one we've
letting
done.
Letting people know what it is. But look, you know, if you're getting confused by if I'm a waiter or a genie and stuff like that, just know it is going to be Scroobius Pip talking about his favourite dishes that he's ever had, and that's all you need to know.
So just imagine me, Ed Gamble, a man, sat talking to Scroobius Pip, a man with sort of James, a hovering waiter.
Yes.
Enjoy the show.
See you. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's exciting to be the first guest.
Is it exciting, or are you worried that you're the guinea pig in this experiment?
It's exciting because it's got that element of being invited round for the first dinner party, but I've chosen the menu, so it's the risk is taken away.
Exactly.
So even if you guys are appalling hosts, both figuratively and literally, I get to talk about my favourite thing, so you know I've got it covered.
So. And you're the first one, so you can't get anything wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone else has to compare to me now. I've got tons of extra categories. I've planned your podcast wonderfully.
That sounds great.
You're like the first star in a reasonably priced car.
Yeah, yeah.
Just straight on the leaderboard. Doesn't matter what anyone else did.
Now, have we picked our first guest well? Are you a foodie? Would you consider yourself a foodie?
Well, yes, and. It's something I made a note of at the start that I wanted to get across. I made a list of some of the posh restaurants I've been to.
That's exactly what we like to hear. I've been
to nice places like Sushi Samba, Popolo, Bob Rickard. I noticed Sushi Samba twice. Rock Salt in Folkestone, if you want to get out of London. Hawksmoor Duck and Waffle, all of these.
Lovely.
And I needed to get them in. I needed to get them in because almost all of my choices are from major fast food chains. I've just got cheap taste. It's a blessing and a curse, I think. I really enjoy nice food. I go, as I said, to loads of nice places. But where a while ago, we did on another podcast, I was asked my kind of death row last meal type thing. And I realised I'd genuinely probably order it from Pizza Hut or Domino's. Literally, that was it. You can have anything you want. It's like, but it's the last time I can have a stuffed crust, right? I can never have one again. Well, I've got to have
it's
one.
It's got to be a stuffed crust. You know,
you're like, a stuffed crust guy?
I am a stuffed crust guy, yeah.
Once I went out to Ed's house, I'd literally broken up with my girlfriend that day.
Yeah.
I was just timing that. Just wanted to see how long it would take for you to mention a breakup.
Yep, here we are. And straight in there. And I went round to Ed's and ordered a pizza. And I ordered a hot dog stuffed crust pizza, which I'd never had before.
It's intense, isn't it?
See, that for me is a step too far.
On all of those things, and the hot dog stuffed crust is an example of, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I never needed to have it again.
Yeah.
I'd experienced it. I didn't regret it. There's some things like that you order and regret. I didn't regret it, but I didn't have any urge to have it again. It was a strange thing to review in that way, because people were asking me online, how was it? I was like, I really enjoyed it, but I will never have another one. So it's a weird combination.
Question about the hot dog stuffed crust. Is it one long hot dog all the way around, or is it a series of normal sized hot dogs?
If it was one all the way round, it'd be the Cumberland sausage stuffed crust, wouldn't it?
wouldn't that have to come out the crust and sort of curl around towards the centre of the pizza?
It might have been two
ends. The base is just a sausage.
I don't know, because it was all, you know, I had it in slices.
Yeah.
So and you were crying, weren't you? So that made
Yeah, and I was crying and everything. It cost a lot of money as well, because I ordered it. It cost me £20, that pizza.
Mm. Yeah.
And I felt, I'll do it because I'm heartbroken.
Yeah.
But
it was worth it.
Didn't help.
I don't know if it was worth it.
I've got spare revenue now. I've not got to waste it on dates and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm never going to be eating out again. So
yeah, get myself a hot dog stuffed crust pizza for 20 quid.
So you go to posh restaurants, but your go-to is probably fast. Food's about comfort, really, I think.
Completely.
Isn't it?
And I have that a lot when I used to have it on tour or with where I do acting a bit now. If I'm away, one of the exciting things is seeing what takeaways are available or local to my hotel. Because I live in a small town in Essex called Stanfordly Hope, and the only chain brand option I've got is Domino's.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's all small local ones and things like that. And they're not amazing. It's not like the East End. It's not all these fancy independent things. It's kebab shops and stuff like that. So it's exciting. Like, we don't have a Deliveroo or Uber Eats or any of that kind of thing. So it's genuinely exciting each time. Before now, in fact, almost every time I've had, for example, an acting gig in Leeds, and before I've gone there, I've entered the postcode and checked what takeaways there are. Because nice. I like that little hotel room takeaway and just pig out, enjoy yourself, have a film on. And yeah, it's that comfort.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we should get into this.
Yes.
We've asked you to pick your perfect starter, main, side, dessert combo.
Yes.
But something we're going to throw at you early doors that you weren't expecting. You've just sat down in the restaurant.
Excellent.
Poppadoms or bread?
Poppadoms or bread.
Oh, Jesus. I'll go for bread. Bread. No, I'll go for poppadoms.
You can, if you want, say a different option if you've ever been given something else nice before a meal that you prefer.
No, I'm going to go for poppadoms, and I like poppadoms, but the only dip of the poppadoms I like is the mango chutney. So don't worry with the rest of them. Just bring more mango chutney.
You would like four mango chutney
dips. It's awkward if I go with other people because I get a little bit... If they take a big scoop of the mango chutney, I'm like, well, you're having a bit of everything. That's all I'm having. So you've taken a large scoop of my only option and a small... You should spread it out. So.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Have you tried the other dips and just never liked them?
Yeah, they've just haven't... Oh, it's a weird one with curries. I didn't have a curry until I was over 20.
What?
I was in my 20s when I had my first curry.
Wow.
And there was a place near me called Bombay Nights.
Uh-huh.
And they had all real... authentic. They apparently they shipped in all their spices and everything, so it was really authentic, and it was the best curry I've ever had. But I'd only have it go there once or twice, or once every month or two, and people would get annoyed because I'd always have the same stuff. But if I'm only going once every month or two, and it's really that one thing I had was really nice, I want to have it again.
You don't want to risk picking something else.
It was really nice. There's nothing wrong with that, I don't think, but it would annoy people. But then that place closed down. Every curry I've had since hasn't come close.
Really?
To the
what was the curry?
Here comes the judgment. It was butter chicken.
I knew you were about to say butter chicken.
Which is such
as soon as you said, here comes the judgment, I was like, here comes butter chicken more like.
But it was a beautiful, because they did it as kind of, it was more, it had the, it was... It was more a masala, and then they had the creamy sauce on top of the masala, and it was a really beautiful mix, and it tasted lovely. But yeah, I would get judgment every time, because clearly I had that the first time, because I've never had a curry and I'm in my 20s.
Sure,
and I want to take it easy.
Fair enough.
Happened to really like it. Let's stick with it.
Yeah.
Let's not deviate from the path.
Everywhere else, do you always get butter chicken now?
No, I generally have avoided now because everywhere else I've gone, it's been a huge letdown.
Sure.
Because it is just more bland and more creamy than it was there. There it was spicy, but not in a hot way. It had a lot of flavour and a lot of spices. I'm not into hot stuff. So, I mean, like flavour-wise hot. I like hot food. I don't demand all my food.
All your choices are freezing.
Pop that in the fridge first, please, for half an hour. So everywhere else I've gone, I then understood why I get judgment of choosing buttered chicken. Because when I had it in other places, I was like, it's just like a creamy, sickly chicken. In that place, it was special.
That place, they did it really well.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Imagine that. The first, you have a dish that everyone thinks is pretty bland, but you have it the best that anyone's ever made it in the world, and you just think it's the best meal ever.
Yeah, and everyone else is judging me. And as I said, I then had, we were on tour in Newcastle once, and we went to a curry house, and I was like, all right, this is a tour as well, so I'm ready for judgment. I was like, this is going to be fun. I ordered it. Everyone else is having the hottest thing on the menu.
Yeah.
And then it came, and I was like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, fair point. Even though you've explained it now, I'm still judging you for the butter chicken.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? But
although I'd like to try this original butter chicken.
Yeah,
that's what I'm referring to it as, the original butter chicken.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah.
You've got poppadoms.
Yes.
Now,
don't fill up on them.
That's key, isn't it?
Yeah, I won't.
Don't fill up on the poppadoms because now we're going to the starter. But are you being the waiter, James?
Yes.
So you need to come and take the order, don't you?
Hello. Well, actually, first of all, would you like a drink before we get your starter?
Good point.
Yes, I'm going to start on just water. I like a water with a meal.
Is that just
that's
a water?
Genuine. That's true. Just a water's fine.
Still sparkling?
I might spice things up later on and order an alcoholic drink.
Okay. But,
at the moment, I'm going to start on the water because I don't want anything to influence the flavours that I'm about to take in. I don't want to set a palate that's then hard to deviate from, like cleaning your teeth before a glass of orange juice.
Now, this is a real good intro into the starter. So you're having water to not interrupt the flavours of the starter.
Yes.
Still sparkling or taps?
A tap is fine, actually.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm a tap guy.
I'm fine with tap. Still, but, you know, there's an element of Essex cheapness that I'm like, still and tap are the same thing, just at a different price.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll take the cheaper of the two, tap. Mm. But the starter. I'm going for what is, and I will not have any argument on this, what is the best starter ever? And it's the reason I went for poppadoms rather than bread, because I'm going for garlic bread with cheese. Because it is the best starter ever. No matter what meal you're having, it's the best starter ever. There's more fancy starters. There's nothing as good. And I'm asking the waiter to pop down specifically to get Pizza Hut garlic bread with cheese.
Yeah.
So it's not just a pizza that's garlicky and cheesy. It's slices. It's individual slices with the cheese melted beautifully on top.
Yeah.
It's the best starter, and I won't have any
argument. I can see why you went with the water now.
So, I don't want
anything influencing the flavour of the Pizza Hut
the continental flavour of garlic bread with cheese.
Because you have picked a starter whose flavour could punch through any drink.
Pretty much. But I really want it to punch through nothing.
Are we allowing guests to say they won't have any argument on it? That's
the level of passion we require from our guests.
Yeah, that is true, actually.
I'm the first one, so it is undisputed at this stage.
Yeah, so maybe the next guest.
The future of the podcast is to dispute it. It's one of my I watch a lot of mixed martial arts, and my brother's main annoyance is at the start of a title fight, they'll introduce someone as the undisputed champion.
Yeah.
It's like, we're literally here to dispute that. That's literally why we're all watching. This is a dispute of that. And introduce the undisputed champ. No, it is being disputed in front of us now. But at present, there's no one here to battle me, so it is undisputed.
Garlic bread with cheese is the undisputed champion. The Pizza Hut garlic bread with cheese.
Yes.
What is the cheese on top of it?
It's normally a mozzarella. They, for a period, had four cheese, mixed cheese, which was mozzarella, I think it was a red Leicester and a cheddar. I worked in Pizza Hut for a little while in the kitchen.
So you know the
menu. Oh, yeah,
there's a reveal here. That's the best option. The mixed cheese is the best option because the melt is just a little bit nicer. It's a little bit creamier. It's a smoother melt.
So that's what you'd like me to get you?
Yes, the mixed cheese one. Yes.
Yeah.
I believe they stopped doing it 5 to 10 years ago, but if you could, they'll probably
have some
somewhere.
It's a magical restaurant. I can get you whatever you want, whatever time period.
Time is no issue in this restaurant.
Yes, get you whatever.
It'd be beautiful. And yeah,
How many slices are you getting with this?
I'm going to go for four. I'm going to do a full order, eat it myself.
Yeah.
I can handle it. I can take it. I'm confident in myself.
Would you, now I'd say this is part of getting garlic bread with cheese from Pizza Hut. Yeah. Would you like it brought in the box? Because I think part of it is some of the cheese maybe caking onto that weird little cardboard thing at the bottom and the grease forming a circle on the bottom of the box.
I would like it in the box. In fact, I'd like James to have a seat. I'm going to go and get it myself because I like to eat one or two before it gets to the table.
Okay.
I like to collect it from Pizza Hut because I've not got a Pizza Hut that delivers, as we heard. Only Domino's is my local.
Yeah.
So if I want pizza, I have to drive to it.
Yeah.
On the drive home, a slice or two isn't making it home. Let's just say that.
Yeah, be having it in the car.
People in my house think they come in orders of two.
I think the grease is giving you away there, though. So it's definitely like a shadow of grease where it is, like a chalk line around the body. You know what's been there.
Yeah. Flame that they moved around a bit in the car.
Yeah,
oh, and must have been there and then slid.
I mean, and the crumbs in my beard is a telltale sign. Yeah. Driving isn't easy for clean eating. So
garlic breath, everything about it.
It's quite obvious.
Might have eaten the garlic bread.
The ruse is up.
My issue with getting that as a starter when you get it from Pizza Hut or somewhere like that is then you eat that and it sort of carbs you up so much by the time you get to a pizza, you don't enjoy the pizza as much as you want.
It's weird. With pizza or generally with fast food, so anything chocolatey in dessert, I don't seem to have a limit on them.
Right, okay.
I think it's partly because as unhealthy as my choices are going to be, in the week, I eat really healthy.
Yeah.
And then at weekends, I eat whatever I want. Mm. So I don't seem to have a limit on it. I seem to be able to eat all of that garlic bread. But before now, and I won't be doing it today, before now, in fact, I say before now, almost more regularly than ordering a pizza now, I'll just pop in a little starters order. Nice. Domino's or pizza, starters. I'll order, you know, I'll go tapas. I'll go tapas at Pizza Hut. I'll have some chicken wings. I'll have some garlic bread. They do a macaroni cheese at Pizza Hut now.
Yeah.
From Domino's, I might go twisted doubles. Who knows?
You just get a few starters.
Just a few starters.
Is that your favourite course then?
I reckon it must be, yeah.
Of all the courses, you're a starters guy.
I think it is, which makes it all the more impressive that when compiling this list, it's the only one that I only had one option on. All the others, still written on my phone, are two options. So I'm that undecided. I'm going to wait until the waiter comes and call it on the day. But all the rest, I've got almost a tie for first place.
Yeah.
Starter was the only one I was like, well, there's nothing better than cheesy garlic bread.
From Pizza Hut 3 years ago.
From Pizza Hut 3 years ago.
I think that is a solid first choice.
I like garlic bread that you can tear apart. Yeah, you know, like a baguette of garlic bread that you can tear it rather than...
My issue with those is that because they're sort of half or three-quarter sliced through the baguette, often there's a little dry bit of bread at the bottom where the garlic butter hasn't reached, whereas slices of garlic bread with cheese, there's garlic butter everywhere.
Or the often popular in pubs, the tear and share garlic bread.
Yeah.
So it's just a big thing that is there for you to tear. I like to have that. I'll have, it's the only time, in fact, I have mayonnaise. I'm not a mayonnaise man, but bit of ketchup, a bit of mayonnaise, a double dip, because the share's a suggestion.
So you have tear garlic bread.
The tear is essential. Yeah. The share part completely at your discretion. Yeah. So I'll cross the streams. I'll dip in both and
dip in garlic bread in mayonnaise.
Yeah, I know it's mad, isn't it? But this is so many mind blowing revelations. That is the only time I've ever had mayonnaise.
You've never.
I've only ever had mayonnaise when at tear and share. In fact, I can even say specific place a pub. Round the back of Festival Leisure Park in Basildon, tear and share garlic bread, ketchup and mayonnaise, double dipped. I'm not a mayonnaise man. It's never appealed to me.
So that place in Basildon is the only place you've ever had mayonnaise?
I've ever had mayonnaise, yeah.
And you think you might have another butter chicken on your hands? Where if you go and have mayonnaise anywhere else, it's not as good?
I think potentially. And again, it's weird because there, Similar with the butter chicken, which is the white creamy sauce over the masala in this place. Yeah. I'm mixing the red ketchup with the white mayonnaise. I think I have an issue with, I can only handle white stuff if it's mixed with red stuff.
Yes.
Which is a strange thing to realise.
Let's pull that out on its own and put it on the internet out of context.
Right, sorted. We've got garlic bread with cheese, waiter.
I'll let them know in the kitchen. And for a main, sir.
Well, this is going to both surprise and disappoint. For the main, I'm going for a pizza because pizza is the best.
It's actually doing it.
But I'm going for something that I'm the only person who's ever had. And I might have to come in the kitchen and make it for you, because when I worked in Pizza Hut, I invented... My name in real life is David Meads.
Yeah.
I stopped using that name, not for stage, but when I worked in HMV, I was known as Pip. In loads of other places, I was known as Pip. But in Pizza Hut, I was still known as David Meads. And there, I invented the Meadsy base. So I'm going to have a Meadsy base pizza.
Meadsy base.
And
yes.
The way I created that, and I'd make
we
it
will
for
need
myself,
to tell the kitchen how to make this.
So yes, I'm writing this down.
You do thin crust pizzas here, right?
Yes.
So
sure.
Slap out a thin crust, sprinkle it with cheese, then pop another thin crust on top of it. So we've got this cheese encased base. Now, the problem you're probably thinking there is, but Pip, it's the cheese is going to bubble out of the sides.
Yeah, yes. I thought
how
so.
Do you seal that? Stuff the crust, mate. Stuff the crust, fold it over, stuff the crust. So we've got a stuffed crust. So cheese in the crust and in the base.
Yeah.
And then the toppings, the sauce and the toppings on top.
So you've got a stuffed base pizza. What cheese are you putting in there?
Again, I've gone for the four cheese mix because it's, again, a smoother blend.
Yeah.
It gives a nice smooth melt.
So you've had that on the garlic bread.
Yeah. And now that's in the main course as well.
That's exact same course. Cheese.
I'm looking forward to hearing what the dessert's going to be.
It's in the main course. Is it going to be cheesecake? Who knows? It's in the main course several times because it's in the base and it's on top. So
and on top.
It's
and
the
in,
top
the,
in,
and
as well.
In the crust as
well. Well, in the crust, they go for a more kind of a cheese string type
yeah,
thing. So it's
of course,
them tubes
yeah.
of cheese that you put in and then you roll it over, you push down nicely to seal it and you run a little thing that perforates the base and seals it all in. You run that over.
Tricks
and then
of the
you put the sauce on, and yeah.
So what sauce are you putting on?
So your traditional tomato pizza sauce.
Yeah.
And then I'm on toppings, again, it's a controversial thing. Despite the monstrosity I've just created in front of you.
Mm. I'm imagining the toppings would be another pizza base.
Tiny pizzas, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm traditional butter on toppings. I'm traditional on toppings because the habit in the UK, again, this is... The same as the people who at the curry house are having the hottest curry available at Pizza Hut or Domino's or wherever else are going, let's put some meatballs on it. Let's have what's on a farm.
Yeah.
Put all of it on there. And including two of the vegetables, but only two, not many. Yeah. Let's not mess things up. But in Italy, they always say that your sauce, your base and your cheese are the most important toppings. Then you should have one, maybe two other toppings. Mm-hmm. So I just go for ham. I'm just going to have ham on top of this because there's a lot in there already. So it's just
like
cheese and
you're
ham.
Sort of referencing the simplicity of Italian cuisine, but you've stuffed the base and crust.
I know, that's it. I had to highlight the monstrosity I'd built first, which is a very Americanized route of making pizza. But yeah, I'm going for that simplicity in the topping.
Of respecting. The tradition.
Yeah. What size are we talking?
Well, the beauty of a Meadsy base is the thin crust bases are made in all sizes, so it's really optional. Sure. But I'll go for a medium. I'm quite peckish, so I'm going to have a medium all to myself.
Yeah.
If I need to take some home in a box, I'll take some home in a box. Yeah.
Is a Meadsy base, have you had it cold in the morning before?
I don't like cold pizza. I always... A reheat in the oven, not the microwave. The microwave makes it go soft and floppy.
Yeah.
The oven, if done within reasonable time, returns it to its former glory.
Or
just slightly crispier.
Don't know if you've ever tried this. Dry pan,
right?
Medium heat, cheese down. For
really?
A couple of minutes,
I like that. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Because
it'll
give
it that.
That
would work for a Meadsy base as well.
Yeah.
No, because it's like a dry pan, so you're not frying anything. You're just warming it
just
and
heating.
Sort of melting the cheese again a little bit.
Does it not stick to the pan?
No.
If you've got good pans, you shouldn't have that problem.
Maybe I haven't got good
pans. And if you're ordering from somewhere like Pizza Hut or something, the cheese never it never goes so melty. It's almost liquid, does it? It's always got like a solidified quality to it anyway.
Well, that's good. That's what you. I didn't ever you did that, Ed.
Oh, I mean, I don't do it regularly, but I'm aware that is a thing you can do.
I've never done it, but I now intend to. I mean, it's rare that I have any left over, if I'm honest.
Well, I was going to say.
You're making a meaty base.
Yeah.
You've put the work in, because only you can make it.
Mate, I've put the work in. And I used to... I pizza is my favourite meal. Mm. It's why it got in there. And I used to... when I got the job at Pizza Hut, my mum genuinely sat me down with little concern, saying... But you love pizza, and this might ruin it for you. It might be the thing that pushes you over the edge. And I ate it. You get a free pizza for lunch.
Yeah.
Also, Pizza Hut do a thing called the buffet, which is, you know, you got your buffet there. And because of the amount you have to make, you prep some of them in advance.
Mm.
There's any left over at the end of the day. There's no point in throwing them away, is there? And by chance, every shift I had, there was a large ham and cheese pizza left over at the end from the buffet.
Is that as well as your pizza for lunch?
That's as well as my pizza for lunch. I pop that in the oven, take that home, provide for the family.
Now that you're known
as... I've become a man.
Now that you're known as Scroobius Pip, you've considered changing the name of the meaty base to like a pepperoni pizza?
Come on.
Again, pepperoni pizza.
It suggests too much. A pippy base or a pepperoni pizza suggests either there's
but
some
when
use
you said pepperoni pizza there, you've got to admit that it felt good when you said
it.
When you said pepperoni pizza, I can see that you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I like the meaty base. It never came into fruition. About 5 years after its creation, the Domino's started doing a stuffed base pizza.
Ooh. Yeah, see, I wasn't going to bring this up because I didn't want to rock the boat.
I think they must have heard somehow. I think word got through. I genuinely, while I was working there, looked up the phone number for head office because I wanted to ring them up and say, look, I've created this new pizza.
Yeah.
I think it's
there's
got
a mole
future.
In our department.
Because the Domino's one, was it called the Dominator?
The Dominator, yeah.
Now, the problem with that stuffed base was it was like cream cheese.
Liquid cheese,
it was horrible.
Yeah, it was messy. It was another one that I tried and enjoyed, but I wasn't particularly drawn back many times. Domino's have a history of that. They'll create inventive things. Speaking of which, this is just a plug for Domino's now.
Yeah.
I was so proud of them recently. When I saw a new menu edition, because Domino's have an option of potato wedges.
Yeah.
That's not that exciting, is it?
No.
You're getting a pizza, you've got the option of garlic bread, all this.
Yeah.
They've just upped that. You can now order potato wedges with melted cheese on, or with melted cheese and bacon.
Oh,
instantly 10 times
melted
more appealing.
And it's
stuff they've got anyway.
Yeah.
They've not had to order in anything extra there. It's sitting there. They probably throw out a load of cheese at the end of each day that isn't used. And I saw it and just went, well done, lads, because you've made that 10 times more appealing and you've spent nothing extra. Not a penny more.
You're proud of them.
I'm so proud of them.
That's quite good. I have a question about the meaty base.
Yes.
How old were you when you invented it?
So I guess I would have been 17 or 18.
And you know, who else has tried it? Only you?
Only me. I'm the only one that's
no one else
tried
ever
it. I don't
you never
I've
shared
ever
it
let anyone.
Anyone
ever taste. I did it with...
But they watch you make it.
I did it with individual, so a personal pizza. So imagine that stuffed. There's not a lot left for toppings.
No.
Yeah, because the thing
it's
is,
mainly base.
When the stuffed first came, the stuffed crust first came out, you could
large.
Only get it in large.
Only large, yeah.
Only available
and
in large.
And again, it's a myth, because you can stuff any crust.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, you've stuffed some crust.
I've stuffed some crust
but
in
you're,
my time.
You're an innovator. Yeah. You were working at the top of your game.
I genuinely feel that was a, we've got something good here, let's keep it on a maximum premium. Because people who want a stuffed crust will order a stuffed crust when they might have been going, they might previously thought I'll have a medium.
Yeah.
But, I want a stuffed crust, I'll go large.
Well, yeah.
And reheat it in the morning or whatever else, and you're spending a load more. If it was an option on a medium, people would take that, believe me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Ready?
Right, it's a good meal so far.
Very good, sir.
You must, it's going okay,
the meaty base, writing that down.
You must be feeling pretty full, but yes. You've got to order a side.
A side, yes.
A side for the meaty base?
Potato wedges with cheese and bacon?
Yeah, macaroni
not,
and meads.
But guess what? Cheese is making an appearance again.
Is it the cheese mix again?
No.
Unbelievable.
It's not from Pizza Hut. This is a shock. It's not from Pizza Hut. It's from Camden Market. There is it off the curb or something? They have their little bit, which is all food from around the world. Obviously, I honed in on where I had cheese.
Yeah.
And they do these halloumi fries that have got pomegranate sprinkled on and some mint sauce and all sorts of stuff
now,
like that.
I'm just going to stop you. This is very interesting.
Right.
Because in the meeting previous to this recording, James said we should establish an ingredient that if it gets mentioned, then we kick the guest off the show.
Wow.
And today's ingredient was genuinely pomegranate seeds.
Pomegranate seeds, really? It's the only place I've ever had them as well. So that's fascinating.
I'm not going to force it. Well, I'm not going to kick you off it, but
I can't believe they actually came up.
You said the ingredient.
But what's interesting here is the first two times I had these, I said I didn't have the pomegranate seed. I'm quite a picky orderer.
Yeah.
There'll rarely be something on the menu that I'm satisfied is the right way to put that together.
Yeah.
Like, well, no, let's leave that off of it or let's add that. And so, as you've seen, we have the invention of the meaty base. And, and with this, the first few times I went to this place, everyone's just having it. They've got these seeds drizzled on this mint stuff. And I was always like, no, I'll just have the halloumi fries, there was some kind of green sauce mix on. Other than that, I'm fine. And it was after a while I went for the pomegranate seed. So I'm happy to leave them off if it gets me through to dessert.
My problem with them is it's like eating bits of gravel.
They do get stuck in your teeth.
Yeah.
I don't like the texture of them. So when I'm like eating a lovely salad and they've been snuck in there.
Yeah.
And then
I get you.
You get one popping in your mouth.
I feel like they're more about look than they are about taste.
I couldn't agree more.
You call it like a jeweled couscous or something and it'll look like, But once you actually bite down into them.
It's like
nothing there.
When they pop gold on stuff.
Yeah.
So some desserts will have gold flakes sprinkled on. It's just a look. Some vodka will have bits of gold in it.
Yeah.
So I just, I'm here for the vodka, not the gold.
Say the first bites with the eye, but all the other bites are with your teeth and mouth. Yeah. I do not like the pomegranate.
Let's not focus solely on the first bite. That's it's a small percentage of the bites, depending on how much
fries,
you chew.
I'm well on board with.
They're amazing. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Talk us through them.
It's just simple. It's slices of halloumi that they've probably coated in something a bit, and then they've deep fried it. And halloumi is something that I came to late, as all of the UK did, I feel.
Yeah.
It feels like it's something that came out of nowhere and everyone went, who's been keeping this a secret?
Yeah,
this seems to be a running theme for you, though, coming to cuisine quite late in your life. Did you eat gruel until 18?
It's because of the pickiness and the blandness. Genuinely, from the age of about 13 or 14 is when I started to kind of make my own meals if I wanted to. But definitely from 15 or 16, I probably went 10 years and I would eat fruit or vegetables once, maybe twice a year.
Wow.
Whoa.
I'm not exaggerating at all. I would live off pizza and meat. And that was it.
Wow.
Simple as that. I would generally have veg as a Christmas present to my mother. So it's Christmas. All right, let's have some veg on the plate. Otherwise, I mean, potato doesn't count as a vegetable.
No,
obviously.
It's
its own food group. So, but then when I got a bit older, I realised that there's all this good food that can be healthy and tasty. Mm. I've not chosen any of it today.
Yeah.
But it does exist.
I think that's a good way of doing it, though, because, like, I think if you do eat all that stuff when you're younger, you don't have that real magical moment when you're an adult when you realise you like a whole other world of food.
Yeah. And believe me, I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
Because at that age, I had the metabolism to deal with that.
Yeah, of course.
That's the perfect time to eat absolutely appallingly. And then when you get a bit older, go, oh, look, here's some healthier stuff that's tasty. If I'd had that early and got bored of it, it'd be a far bigger struggle now. Whereas as I've come to it, as I'm getting a bit older and the metabolism is taking a little more effort, it's perfectly timed.
I think this is a question that applies to the majority of the UK, and I think we'll have a good discussion around it. What's your record at a Pizza Hut buffet? Now, obviously, you were behind the scenes a lot, so...
Me and my mate Steve, who worked with me at Barleycorn Home Stores in Basildon...
Yeah.
We would have a contest and we would give points. It was a point per slice, point for garlic bread. They didn't have garlic bread. The kicker was we'd give a point for each of the big breadsticks that they do at the
buffet.
Right,
okay,
That was a mistake because that's not equal to a
half
slice
a point
of pizza.
Really, isn't it?
So he scored 21.
Wow.
My best score was 18, I believe. I think we gave a point for a pint of drink. So it was generally a point for every element.
Yeah. Pint of drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my score was 18. I'd say at least 10 of that was slices of pizza.
Solid.
Probably 12.
Yeah.
I wasn't big on... I was there for the game rather than the score. So whilst I could have got a better score filling up on breadsticks, but what kind of lunch break is that?
Exactly.
Yeah. You still wanted to have a nice time.
Also, I will add that Pizza Hut Buffet was, for a long while, my favourite place to do a runner from and not pay.
Is that when you were working there as well?
No, it was after. I went through a phase of really begrudging paying for food. And Pizza Hut Buffet was a real favourite of mine. Again, I think part of it was the guilt free element, knowing how much goes in the bin.
Yeah.
So my consumption can just count as wastage.
Yeah.
And my technique was flawless. I do it on my own more often than not. The first time I did it, I'd got my first job as a photographer and my first paid job, and I got paid something like $3,000 or $4,000, which was insane for a 18, 19 year old. I'm a photographer now, and it blew my mind. And I went, again, it's an illustration of my cheap taste. To treat myself, I went for a Pizza Hut buffet to celebrate, and the real illustration of my cheapness is with that check in my pocket I still chose to do a runner. And my technique is, on arrival, and I don't know if they've changed it, but so many of the buffet bars are quite near the front door,
right.
So my technique is eat as much as I want, then walk up to the buffet with my plate, just look for a bit, place the plate on the side and just walk out the door. Never had to run. It was always a very casual, just stroll up, have a look. And often a pizza or a buffet pro knows that you will get some lingerers who are waiting for new pizzas to come out.
Yeah, sure.
A new one is coming. So no one turns a blind eye if you're hanging around up there for a bit. No. So I'll hang around until people, I've almost become invisible because they assume I'm just waiting for a new pizza. And then just pop that down, stroll out the door.
So much of the time, I think it would be so easy to do that anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I
really enjoyed it for a bit. Honestly.
But the last thing,
it became a buzz. It became a buzz.
You've got to walk, haven't you? The last thing you want to do after a pizza at a buffet is run.
Exactly. A casual stroll.
Yeah.
And then,
walk
got
out.
Away with it numerous
every time waiting for, we're trying to catch a waiter's eye to try and ask for the bill and them ignoring you. And you think, I could just get up and walk out. Nobody would stop you. Did it.
Frankie and Benny's. I was on a date. Frankie and Benny's. And we were waiting to try and pay for a good 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I realised that my waiter had finished his shift and just gone. So I said to the girl I was on the date with, can't wait in the car, because I didn't want her to have anything embarrassing. I was like, you head out to the car. I'll be out in a minute. And then I got up, I walked out, I said goodbye to everyone on my way out. So I said, see you later. Thanks a lot. That was lovely. Bye. Thanks a lot. That was beautiful. I walked out and got in my car and went home. Frankie and Benny's at the Festival of Leisure Park in Basildon.
What a date as well.
Yeah.
That was happy. As you were driving away, one of the waiters said to the other, that's the guy who invented the meaty base.
Yeah. And the young lady obviously got to go, well, a good meal and he's a rebel. Look at this rebel.
Did you tell her that you'd done a run? Did you make out you just paid for it?
No, I was fine with that. I was quite proud.
Just so you know, I've also nicked this car.
Because every runner I've ever done was done with intelligence rather than physical prowess or speed. It's always been a calm and casual runner. So there is a feel of achievement. I once, this is terrible confessions, but I was once chased by the police. This is weird, isn't it? I used to do some illegal stuff. Oh, I'm such a chancer, aren't I? I used to just spray on walls. I did stenciling.
Yeah.
And one time a police car came and we ran. And we got kind of away into some woods. And we stashed our stuff and kind of took our hoodies off. And then walked out. And as we're walking along, the police car was coming towards us. So I started to walk a tightrope along the pavement and then staggered and bumped into the police car as if I was drunk.
Yeah.
And they just went, where are you guys off to? Like, just going home, mate, had a good night. And they went, we'll go straight home and don't cause any trouble. They were looking for us. But again, through my intelligence, I felt, rather than any physical prowess or anything else, I was like, it's what's led me to acting now. But was it. It was that moment of, rather than seeing them and going, run. Saw him and went, be a drunk on the way home.
They just like go a pizza hut buffet.
There you go, boys. Be careful, by the way. There's some stencils around.
Was there another drink that you
was your favourite drink of all time, water?
Well, that's the thing. There's a drink that I would order now.
Yeah.
It's not my favourite drink of all time.
Uh-huh.
My favourite drink of all time is Robinson's High Juice. It's not available anymore. The orange one. I drank it constantly as a kid. It had an unusual shape and a green top. It was lovely. It wasn't as sweet as the squashes.
Yeah.
It felt a bit more fresh. Mm. I would drink that morning, noon and night.
We've got it in the kitchen if you want it.
Yeah. I would dip biscuits in it. Okay. This shocks people.
And is this your dessert?
No, I'm not going for
Dipping biscuits in high juice. You didn't try mayonnaise, do you, in your 20s?
Yeah. See, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was distracted by dipping Bourbon biscuits in Robinson's High Juice.
Would you dip tear and share garlic bread in Robinson's High Juice?
I would not. I'm not an animal.
It's like a chocolate orangey thing. That's
I'm an adult now, so I'm not going to have Robinson's High Juice.
You're having garlic bread with cheese for starters.
Yeah, exactly.
At the meaty base. Basically, mate.
So why not order a glass of Scroobius?
Oh, here we go. It's his own drink now as well.
Yeah. Most popular new cocktail of 2017.
Fantastic.
I invented it on the Drunk Cast on my own podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the original manifestation of it is quite simple, and it's going to blow your mind with fury what I'm doing here. It's gin and Pepsi Max.
I think I've heard you talk about this.
It's legendary. It's legendary. But recently, I upgraded it. So on the Drunk Cast, there's Chris and Stu, who did a Hardcore Listing podcast.
Yeah.
Stu got run over to the Scroobius. The first episode, so everyone was like, oh, it's the worst drink ever. And then off mic, he'd go, hey, can you pour me a... and I started doing it. But Chris was to the end. It's the worst drink ever. Then we went on a weekend away recently, and I had a Scroobius 2018, which was Slingsbury rhubarb gin.
Okay,
and yeah. Pepsi Max.
Okay, yeah.
Chris had some of that and was like, he went quiet for a bit, and I was like, oh, something good going on here. And then he had to reluctantly admit, he's like, that's really tasty. That's a really, you've turned a disgusting drink into a wonderful drink. So I'll go for a Scroobius 2018 Slingsbury rhubarb gin, Jesus, and Pepsi Max.
So
good serving of ice, please, sir.
Will that go with the meal, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. All of the flavours I have in my meal will punch through anything, despite my statement earlier about water. They stand alone.
They do, absolutely.
Well, mate, a single or a double?
A double. Oh, why not? YOLO.
Yeah.
Is it a double, though? Because it sounds like the sort of thing is just home measures, so it probably ends up being a quaddy.
It's just pour a bit. Yeah. Just pour some.
Am I letting you in the kitchen again to make your own?
Yes, if you could.
Behind the bar this time.
Take the night off, my friend.
Access to the whole restaurant.
Sit down, get comfy.
I like fizzy drinks when they go flat.
Yeah. I have people look at me judgmentally when I pour myself a Pepsi Max, because I just sling it.
Yeah.
And then they go, you know, you meant to tilt the glass and pour it. I was like, no, if I sling it, it fizzes up and then a lot of that fizz disperses. So I have it slightly more flat from the get-go. Yeah. It's why I pour from quite a height to get maximum explosion of fizz to soften it slightly.
Yeah.
It's not an accident. People look at me as if I'm pouring Pepsi Max for the first time.
Yeah, which, let's face it, with you... It's a possibility. I mean,
come on, it's not mayonnaise.
Absolute possibility that whatever you're eating or drinking, it might be a first.
You didn't pour Pepsi Max until your 20s in Basildon.
Yeah. As a Christmas present to your mum.
Didn't pay for it.
Yeah. So with this Scroobius 2018, do you want it a bit flat?
Yeah. So pour it from a decent height. A lot of ice, again, ice. That nice dilutes it a little. Yeah, people like these ice cubes now that are kind of in plastic, so it doesn't dilute it.
Rocks.
I'm against it.
Yeah.
I'm against it. It's like, no, I want the water. Mm. That's part of it.
Yeah, and then the ice at the end, crunch the ice at the end.
I've had people as well. Yeah, I'll have a bit of a crunch on the ice. I mean, I'm normally topping up for round two, but
absolutely.
You know, if we need to, we might allow that.
That's what I've heard. You can't just have one Scroobius 2018.
No, exactly.
No.
Exactly.
What's your pip you can't stip?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I regretted it as soon as I said it.
I like it.
So, I'm not proud of that.
So, dessert.
Yeah.
Licking my pen.
Now.
Licking the nip.
I'm going to ask you, if you could, to just quickly pop across to the cinema. Because I want... Ben and Jerry's, but I have a specific three scoops from the Scoop Station. And again, I've discussed this once or twice on the podcast and it got a lot of laughter, but I do a bit of acting here as well because I know the three scoops I want, but I also know the order I want them in.
Right.
But that's a bit embarrassing to say. So literally every time I go, I look as if I'm making my mind up. When they go three scoops, I go, oh, I'll have chocolate fudge brownie. Because I don't want to say the three and then put them in the wrong order.
Sure.
So I'll say I'll have chocolate fudge brownie.
So that's the base.
Yeah.
And peanut buttercup.
Yeah, absolutely. Scooping it that for you now. Yeah.
And then there's some variations because they did there's essentially variations of cookie ones. So it'll either be half baked or it'll be the cookie dough mix switch up. And there's variation of that. So whichever one of them it is the
whatever
is,
type of is, cookie dough
is
one.
The third scoop to go on top. Yeah,
that's good because you've got three flavors that complement each other.
Yeah.
I would say, and that kind of belong in the same Ben and Jerry's family.
Yeah.
Whereas when I'm getting three scoops from the cinema, and I do always get three scoops.
Yeah.
I just want three wildly different because it's like I'm asking for three different ice creams.
Yeah.
And so I go like. I normally would go Cherry Garcia.
Right.
And I'd probably also have the cinnamon bun one.
That's a good choice, though. Mm-hmm. The cinnamon bun's good.
Yeah. And then Ed is going to be furious. Although
I know what you're going to say.
Although Ed might recently,
I've recently come around to it, but
I get the chunky monkey.
Right.
I don't like, broadly, I don't like artificial banana flavour.
Okay.
I like a banana, but I don't think science has managed to capture the flavour of a natural banana in artificial flavouring yet.
Fair comment.
It's an interesting one because the small banana sweets at Pick and Mix,
the foam ones.
Yeah, I would say it's not recreating.
No, not at all.
Banana. It's improving upon it.
Oh wow!
It's improving upon the natural flavour.
Someone push him over the edge. Of this
I feel like man has improved upon God's banana.
I feel bananas have never managed to capture the taste of cinema Pick and Mix foam bananas. They've never managed to fully capture it and really get the sugariness and get it across for me. So
yeah, it's a shame that the guy who invented bananas has not managed to capture
Pick and Mix.
Really
sweets.
Not nailed it for the Pick and Mixes.
It's terrible. But I create them as if I'm making a sundae more than three individual flavours.
Do you have sauce and stuff on them?
I don't think there's any need for that on Ben and Jerry's. I think they make enough. There's enough in them.
There's enough.
The flavour's there. A sauce is almost unnecessary.
My girlfriend used to work at a cinema, Ben and Jerry's stand, and loved, like, there's a whole, you have to go through training to get the scoop properly and stuff, but was always very annoyed when someone would order one of those core ones.
Yeah.
Because there's so much stuff they have to do to get the core out and then put the sauce in and put more ice cream on top.
Yeah, it's crazy. I
genuinely,
I've never ordered that.
The last time, it's just giving me a little flashback to the last time I was genuinely speechless, that I was in... I was having ice cream at the Cineworld in Leicester Square. I remember the place.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the member of staff's name. It stuck with me. She scarred me. But I'm doing my usual routine.
Yeah.
I've gone, I'll have the chocolate fudge brownie. And she scooped that and I've gone, peanut butter cup. And then she started to get it and she struggled because of how frozen it is. Yeah. Which happens. Yeah. That's a thing.
Sure.
But then she's given up and said, Too frozen.
What?
Oh, what would you like instead?
No, it's not too frozen.
And I was just like, because that was what I wanted.
Yeah.
That was it. And I can see it there. And she's like, it's too frozen. Do you want a different one? And I was like.
And that's not an excuse for not getting you an ice cream. That it's too cold.
Exactly.
This was a bit cold.
I didn't know what to do. There was rage, but also politeness overcoming me because I'm in public. And it was like, It was a time I wanted a waiter kind enough to let me come round and serve myself.
Yeah.
I would have gone. The trailers haven't even started yet. I'll have 10 minutes on that.
I'll get a scoop
I'll
out
get
of
to
that.
It. Yeah, you can be fine. But yeah,
she went to a bin food training.
I was stunned. I was genuinely stunned. I was like,
did you have a different one? Did you replace it with something?
I did. I replaced because I
can't. Do you remember what you replaced it with?
Forced the poor young lady to injure herself.
I guess she can't. Yeah,
she had weak arms. She's not made for scooping ice cream.
Yeah interesting. My girlfriend went there for a couple of months, and after a couple of months, like, had a more developed bicep on her right arm. Because
it's a fair scoop, but it was tough. I went straight to the cookie one, and then I didn't know what I wanted on top of that because that's the ending.
What would go on
that's
the top
the ending.
Of it. Yeah.
In my panic, I've skipped to the end.
Did you go for
and
another like, chocolate fudge
I think
brownie,
I went
maybe?
For a chocolate mint one or something. And mint's a risky one. It's still chocolate, so it still mixes in. But yeah,
I found mint ice cream has become my favourite ice cream to have in a banana split.
Mm.
And I know you probably won't like the bananas because they're not as good as the
you
original
just
banana.
Just get a load of banana ice cream and shape it into the shape of a banana.
line up a bunch of foam banana pick and mix either side of some scoops of mint ice cream.
Because the beauty of foam bananas is they come already split. That's the beauty of that creation.
You don't have to peel them.
So clever.
Another way they've trumped the original banana.
They've improved upon it so much.
Right, so should we recap the meal?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we should do that. I think that should be
Just make sure I've got this order right before I go to the kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, so are you taking the full order, including dessert, and then you're going to the kitchen?
Unconventional.
Have you been hearing me? No, you have not. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I want to make sure we get it all right, you see? So you would like poppadoms to start and with four mango chutney dips?
Yes, please.
And you would like a tap water?
Yes, thank you.
Starter, I've got here cheesy garlic bread.
I mean, I would have liked the tap water before we started the 40-minute conversation of taking the full order, but that's fine. Let's continue on. Just a note for the future.
Remember that for next time. starter, you got cheesy garlic bread from Pizza Hut from 3 or 4 years ago with the mixed cheese.
Yes, correct.
In the box.
In the box.
In the box, please.
Yeah. Main course, I've got here a meaty base written down. A ham meaty base.
Yes, that's correct.
And that's a medium. You like that medium size?
Yes, thank you.
And with the side of halloumi fries from Camden Market.
Yep. Thank you.
Hold the pomegranates.
Yeah, hold them.
Absolutely. Hold them. You're allowed to stay. And the dessert we've got here, your drink for one is the Scroobius 2018.
Yes, the 2018. You like that edition. Flat? Yes, please. As flat as possible.
It was a good year for the Scroobius.
Yeah.
With your own measure of gin.
Yes.
And home measure of gin. And then dessert, we have, we're popping on to the cinema, and we're getting you 3 scoops of Ben & Jerry's ice cream in this order, chocolate fudge brownie, and then peanut butter cup, and then whatever cookie one that they have on offer.
Correct.
That sounds like a great order.
I mean, that's perfect. It's also, I've essentially asked for a job, really, because it's all stuff that I want to prepare myself.
Yeah, you're going to have to prepare
specific
it yourself.
Specific measures, all of this. It's like, are you employing? Are you taking on stuff at the moment?
You know what you like.
I know what I like.
If you were only allowed one of those things, what would it be?
It would be the ice cream, because I have regularly had ice cream for breakfast. I've had ice cream for lunch.
Here we go.
I've had ice cream for dinner.
My heart is beating.
It can be
a
all
man
three.
After my own heart.
Yeah, you're really on James's page there.
I don't have a limit on ice cream. Ice cream is something, when you hear of people having ice cream eating competitions, like, it's something that I'd like to get involved with, because I've done 2 tubs of Ben & Jerry's in a row in an evening.
Wow.
For no competition. I had one weekend where the weekend I had, I think it was 4 tubs, but I counted. I got in late on the Friday night, so technically it was the Saturday. But within 48 hours, I had 4, maybe 5 tubs.
Wow.
I don't have a limit on it.
Eating ice cream drunk is a real big danger for me. If I get home and there's a tub of ice cream in the freezer, that is going to go. And I'm going to wake up the next morning and I won't remember eating it. And that will be what will really annoy me.
Yeah,
so basically just put all the calories in me and without any of the actual memories.
Me and James went on holiday to New York together a few months ago, and he was determined to buy an ice cream cake.
I've never had one before.
And then one night we were walking back and he went, I'm going to go get an ice cream cake. And this was about 1 a.m. We were like, I don't know where he's going. He's just going to come back empty-handed. He crashed through the door about half an hour later holding a full family-sized Baskin-Robbins ice cream cake.
Yes.
Just sat down and ate it with a spoon.
See, my second choice on the desserts was Millie's cookies do cookie cupcakes.
Oh yeah,
and the cookies are great. I love a good cookie. Yeah. A Millie's or a Ben's, you know. I'm not. I like that they've got their own strengths.
Yeah,
but the cookie cupcakes, it's similar. The beauty of it is, it's all about the chocolate kind of fondant type stuff that's just in there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's similarly, you're just getting the cookie has become just a receptacle for a whole load of this icing.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful thing.
I always like to think that Millie and Ben used to be married.
Yeah.
And then they split up and set up separate cookie operations.
Yeah. And Millie, I reckon they started Millie's together.
Yeah.
Because Ben took a while then, because he's like, I can't just do the same. And he came up with this thing of just having the chocolate in one big chunk and all this. Yeah. I think that's it. I think they started Millie's together and then split up. And he's like, well,
hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, I can't just make her cookies.
And he had to get over the divorce and everything. He had a lot on his plate.
Well, you know what? This is the first meal we've done, and I think it's some solid choices. I like how passionate you've been about each of your selections.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be hard to beat.
I appreciate that. Can I just give you the one that got pushed off because there was another chain. Yeah,
honourable mention.
It was another chain.
Honourable mention.
I like it.
That won't necessarily stay, but...
I think that's going to stay. Ben's writing it down. Producer Ben is writing down honourable mention.
He writes down things he's got to cut out.
or make jingles for.
Yeah.
So years and years ago, not far from here, actually, in off Leicester Square, no, off Trafalgar Square, there was a Wendy's burger place. Do you remember Wendy's? They did square burgers, and it was this handmade, just real nice. The first time I toured America, they have Wendy's over there, and I was
everywhere.
I've got to go there. And I went there every time, and I've had In-N-Out burger over there. All these ones that people hype, I think Wendy's is the best.
Yeah.
And Wendy's do a burger called the Baconator.
Okay.
Which is two, you've got a choice of two, three, or four patties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cheese, bacon, and ketchup, and that's it. But it's these square patties, and it's delicious. So I was tempted to go for the Baconator as the main, but it would have meant I couldn't have had the halloumi fries as the side because they also come with Baconator fries.
Right.
Which again, it's just a big tray of fries smothered in cheese and bacon.
Yeah.
It's just, I couldn't have had the two without the other.
So it's just the side dish pushed it out rather than the main.
Yeah, but the Baconator fries are wonderful. But it is that it's genuinely my big treat when I go to America. It was that and pink berry for a while.
The frozen yogurt.
Because they weren't over here at all. Right. And the particular spot in LA, there's a Wendy's there and the pink berry's like a 5-minute walk, which in my mind has walked off the burger.
Sure.
So especially if it's hot, you really feel like
it's balanced out now. Back to zero on the calories.
And genuinely, the amount of times I always go in on my own.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing mates that don't want to go somewhere nice or go somewhere special, and it'll be every trip I've done to America now, I'll go at some point, at least once, on my own. And last time, it was the night I got there, I'd got this really weird Airbnb experience where I got there and everything had glowing lights underneath it. So all the surfaces had glowing lights. he left a note, there were some guitars on the wall in case I want to vibe with that, which made me incredibly uncomfortable. And I was jet lagged and it had been this weird trip. And I walked out and it was open all night that night.
Oh,
and I just sat in there at midnight on my own, me and some homeless people.
Right.
And I just had a Baconator with Baconator fries and a large drink. And then I went back and vibed with that guy's guitar.
Lovely.
Oh, lovely. Pinkberry's great because it's build your own Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
That's what I found.
It basically is.
Really?
Yeah,
there's cookie dough.
There's cookie dough, there's brownies, all sorts of stuff. I like it a lot.
It'd be more difficult to get your order, though.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to build three separate ice creams.
You'd have to do a lot of acting.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Put some more frozen yogurt on top.
Yeah.
And I'd have to walk in going, I'll be there in a minute, guys.
Yeah.
Three, please. and then start my fictional order for me and my friends.
Yeah.
And
why don't your friends just come in? No, they're outside.
Three smalls.
And then you go, I'm just going to take these out to the guys and get the money and then never come back.
Yeah. So get in the car to your date who's waiting for you. Just drive.
Just drive while I eat all three of these. Oh, did you want something?
Thank you very much, Pip.
Thank you. It's been
a
pleasure.
Thank you so much. You are welcome here anytime. If you want to leave a tip for me, I'd appreciate it. Here's the bill.
Thank you very much.
It's actually on Ed. Ed's paying for it.
Excellent.
I don't think Pip needs to leave a tip because he's done all of the work himself. So.
Oh, yes. I'll tip you. Here's a fiver.
And Ed, can I interest you in a runner?
Let's go.
That was it. Episode one. Is that something we should do off the back of it? Go, yum, yum, yum.
That hit the spot.
There we go. So we've got Bon Appetit to open every episode. Yeah. And then yum, 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 that hit the spot after every episode.
Great.
Perfect.
Yeah. Good catchphrase.
What a great first guest.
Such a great first guest. Very open. Gave us so much information on his choices. Really let us delve into his mind and stomach.
I thought you were about to say he really let us down.
Oh, no.
He did on the pomegranate side.
He said pomegranate, but then we let him stay in the restaurant because he agreed to have it not on...
Not pomegranate.
He took them off.
The halloumi fries, which is good. I think that's gone very well, James, and I think this is the start of a beautiful podcast.
I think so. I feel like it's the start of a beautiful podcast. I think everyone... I mean, you know, what can't you... If you don't like that, why are you listening to podcasts? That's great.
And if we keep booking guests of that calibre, I think we're... we're really going to last.
Yeah, we have got some absolute humdingers lined up.
We've got some real humdingers lined up. So if you enjoyed it, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Write reviews. That's important, isn't it?
Tweet about it.
Tweet about it.
Yeah.
Tell your friends.
Let us know what your favourite dishes are.
Yeah. Direct all that to James.
Yeah.
Let James know what your favourite dishes are.
Yeah.
And if you disagree with any of the favourite dishes that our guests have picked.
Absolutely.
The main thing is subscribe on iTunes, share it around, tell your friends, play it loudly in restaurants.
Also, why not listen to Scroobius Pip's podcast, Distraction Pieces.
You are good at plugging, man.
Pretty good at plugging.
Yeah. If you like James Acaster, which you really should, he's got four comedy specials on Netflix.
I have. Not bad for a genie waiter.
Now, that is going to get... If you've not seen James's specials, things are going to get even more confusing when you watch them. James Acaster, genie waiter, undercover cop, jury service.
Yeah. So... Try and unpick it.
Enjoy those. But for now, that was episode one of Off Menu with Ed Gammell and James Acaster. We will see you next time with another fantastic guest and more yummy treats. Oh, I can't say that.
You don't want to end on more yummy treats?
More yummy treats. I sound like a perv.
Does sound a little bit pervy, actually. I don't really know how to help you out of that one, Ed.
Right, well, we'll just finish now and hope no one heard that bit.
Yeah, people might have switched off. Now.
Sorry about the yummy treats, everyone.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.